All right, I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be with you again this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your watch and your care over us, Father. Lord, even when we don't know it, Father, and don't think about it, or even sometimes have the wrong ideas or the wrong attitude, Father, we just thank you for your goodness, Lord. You watch for us when we need it most. Lord, we thank you again for all that you've given us, Father, the Word, Lord, and your Spirit, Father. We just ask you to fill us now with your Spirit as we open your Word. God, we just ask your blessing upon this time together in your Word. Give us wisdom, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I think we'll begin in verse 16. It says, "Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him this way, in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He who made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." I want to just kind of take one phrase out of there. It says, "Be reconciled to God." And I want to use that thinking about reconciliation and what it really means and some of the hindrances to reconciliation. This is very important. Now, verse 18, it says, "Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself." I want just to remember that, and we'll turn back to it here in a little bit. And then let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Well, it's 12 or 14. It says, "Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled." Okay. First glance there, you just, what has this got to do with each other? This root of bitterness is what I want to talk about. Bitterness. You know, Jesus tells us in the Gospels that if we will not forgive, God will not forgive us. He makes it very plain in his prayer. He says, "Forgive them, as they forgive others. I mean, the idea is that our level of forgiveness on the judgment day will be in direct response to how we've forgiven others. We are creating our own judgment day. You know, sometimes we think there's this big book that we're going to be judged out of, that here's the rules, you either measure up or you didn't. But in reality, in our hands, we possess our own judgment. You know, we can create God into whatever kind of fiend or terrifying being that we want to. But in reality, we're going to face a reflection of ourselves. And that reflection can either truly reflect Him towards us and thus back to us, or it can reflect something that we have created about Him or of Him that is not real reality. But that's what we'll be judged by. We're creating our own judgment. He said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be given mercy." It tells over and over again things of how we treat others is how we will be treated ourselves. Be reconciled with God. Whenever someone sees or has been hurt, that's what where forgiveness comes from. Someone who's been hurt forgives the one that's hurt them. Someone who has truly been hurt can forgive someone who's done them wrong. The first element of that is they must realize or recognize the person that actually hurt them and what they've actually done to be able to properly forgive them. And in reality, that is pretty simple to do. Even though it's very difficult, that is the only way there can be true forgiveness and true reconciliation. Someone's actually done something, someone's felt that hurt, and actually forgives them. And the person who's done the hurt can repent of that, can offer an opportunity to fix whatever was wrong, and there can be true reconciliation. Most bitterness does not come from a true hurt, from a wrong that was actually done to a person. Because when a wrong that has actually been done, most of the time that can be repaired. And the person who can repair that is often the one who has been hurt. Because they don't allow that hurt to turn into anything else. They forgive the other person for it. They forgive the person that's hurt them. And so it can't become bitter because it's been forgiven. Whenever the Bible tells us to be reconciled to God, the reason most people cannot reconcile with God is because the God that they have in their mind has become a monster that they've created in their own mind. It's not even real. So the reason there can be no reconciliation is because the person they're trying to reconcile with doesn't even exist. That's why it's so important that these words that we read here, that now all these things are from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. Whatever image people had of God when Jesus came into this world, Jesus was God in the flesh trying to portray to people who the real God was. This is who God is. And He came in the form of a man and lived His life out as God in the flesh to show people, this is who I really am. And nobody wanted to see Him that way. They had in their own minds these images of who God was. Some was, He just rains fire and brimstone at the least offense. He's got all these commandments and all these rules that have to be kept. And He's up on this mountain just smoking and lightning and thundering, just ready to pounce. And so people lived in fear. They lived in terror of who God really was. But in reality, when Jesus was walking on this earth as who God really was, that's those who recognized that were the ones who were able to be reconciled with God. See, there's no reconciliation to the man, to the God that's hurling thunderbolts off a mountain. There's no reconciliation to that. There's just fear and terror. Because a God has been created in our own minds that doesn't exist. But when Jesus came as a man and showed us who He really was, men could see God and be reconciled to Him. That's the purpose of His coming. So that we could see Him who He really is. There is no reconciliation to someone you've imagined in your own mind. Some have this God that's ready to throw everybody in hell and destroy everybody because He's so angry. And Jesus came into the world just to satisfy His anger, so that now God can forgive us. That's an imaginary God. It's not what He came for. Jesus came into this world to reconcile man to Himself. Jesus came into this world to show us that God wasn't just wanting to throw everybody in hell because they disobeyed Him, but that God was wanting us to return back to Him and what He created us for. And that's the only way there can be reconciliation. If we can't see the person that's offended us as they really are, they made a mistake. Just like I'm capable of doing. They were wrong. Just like I'm capable of being wrong. And if I can't see another human being like myself, then I can't even forgive another human being. Because I've created them into something that they're not. This root of bitterness. Whenever you imagine someone's done something to you, it's almost impossible for there to be a reconciliation. Because the person hasn't even done what you think they've done, for one thing. How can they repent of something that you've only imagined that they've done? You're demanding a level of repentance based on your own imagination. And whenever someone's hurt you, or you think they've hurt you, you can go one of two directions. You can forgive it, because you're just as capable of doing the very thing they did to you as anybody is. Or you can nurse it. You can just sit around and have a pity party about what they've done, how bad they've done you wrong. You can become a victim because someone has hurt you. And when you start down that road and you begin nursing that hurt, that pain, you hear something about that person, and boy, it just fits with just what you were thinking about them anyway. And so they just grow a horn over here. And then pretty soon you hear something, or they say something, maybe not even to you, and it just fits with that mean person, how they've hurt me, and another horn grows over here. And pretty soon, you just let that grow, and their horns get bigger, and their face gets uglier, and they get meaner and meaner and meaner every breath you take. They've got a big old long tail and a pitchfork, and you've just created a monster that's not even a human being. How can there be reconciliation with your imagination? There can't be. It is impossible to have reconciliation about someone else when your imagination is what's created the problem in the first place. You can't forgive someone like that until you realize they're not that monster that you've created. They're just like you. They might have done some bad things. They might do some mean things. They might have been bad. But when they become some monster in your imagination, you can't forgive them. They can't be forgiven because it's all in your imagination somewhere. That's why when Jesus came into the world, it took away all the imagination. And I said, right here I am. This is what God is supposed to be like. And he went about healing. He raised the dead. He walked on the water. He spoke wonderful truths. He was full of wisdom. No man has ever spoke like this man. And yet, he was crucified because we can't allow this man to live. For whatever the motive is, they had to turn him into a monster so that they could kill him. They had to make him into something horrible so that they could carry out their deeds. How many times have wars began? Have huge divisions began because of somebody's imagination. How many little roots of bitterness could have been avoided if there had just been some forgiveness instead of suffering and allowing that suffer to fester and to grow into bitterness? The bitterness is not the fault of the person who did you wrong, no matter what they've done to you. Whatever the crime against you, the bitterness is not their fault. You can't blame them for the bitterness. Jesus, hanging on a cross after men had nailed him there unjustly, looked down and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Stephen, carrying out that light, being stoned to death unjustly, said, "Father, forgive them." If Peter would have gotten bitter, Stephen would have gotten bitter, that's his fault. That one little choice that we make to forgive or to get bitter, to forgive or to get bitter, no matter what the wrong is what keeps us from reconciliation. And the longer that goes, the longer, the bigger it grows, the more impossible reconciliation can be. Until we see God as who He truly is, we cannot be reconciled with Him. We can create a God of our own imagination and pretend we're reconciled with Him, but we're not reconciled. We're only reconciled when we see Him who He is, accept ourselves for who we are, then we can be reconciled, if we will. There's so many areas that we can be so off in our thinking if that's where our heart is. Just for an example, sometimes if you would mention the word submission to a woman, what is imagined when you hear that word? What is imagined when they hear that word? There's a few that hear it and say, "There's nothing wrong with submission. It's my duty and responsibility to submit to my husband, because I love him." But to others, this image of, "I just got to throw my brain out the door and be a mind-numb robot and just wait for the next beating." But that's not what it is. But we can create these images of things and just completely distort them. How will you ever come to what's really real whenever things are so distorted in our minds to hear those things? Some people can't stand that the Bible tells people to submit to their elders or leaders. The first thing that comes to their mind is, he's going to deceive me and lead me into some kind of cult and do all kinds of things. And their mind just goes on and on and on. Because their mind is corrupted. That's what it talks about, this being a new creature. You begin to see things as they really are, because we begin to see Christ as he really is. You don't avoid being deceived by avoiding deception. You avoid being deceived by walking in light. When the goal of your life is to walk with the Lord and walk in light, you don't have to fear being deceived. But when the goal of your life is not to be deceived, you can guarantee you're deceived. Because the only way out of it is walking in that light. When we look at Christ, at his life, and we see that the purpose of his life was that men could be reconciled to God, is so that men could see Christ and see God as who they really are. We can make him into something, a big old mean king, big old mean ruler. We can make him into a little ball of mush. He's just whimpering, waiting for us to say, I'm sorry. Or we can see him as who he is. Then we can be reconciled to him. Those others are just in our mind somewhere. Just like it is with people. Now all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. You see here, Christ, God, is the one who's been wronged here. We've gone against God. But it's God that initiates the reconciliation. Now all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He saw us as we really are. And so he brought that reconciliation to us through Christ so that we could see him who he really is. You get those two elements out mixed up, any one of them, and it don't work. We think sometimes it's the person that's done the wrong, that they need to be, well, whenever they repent, I will. But that's not the way God did it. God was willing and ready to forgive as soon as we were ready and willing to be what he wanted us to be. Our goal and our heart should be ready just to go on to the next step. Whatever anyone else has done to us. That doesn't mean everything's just A-okay right now, but it can be with us. Be reconciled to God see him who he really is. Realize who you really are. That's what he came to do. It's nothing way out there. It's nothing hidden. It's what he came to do. And we are to be ambassadors for him, reconciling the world back to him. May the Lord add his blessings.
Oh! Right.